This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Greg Hoffman with you tonight. And joining me now on the BetQL guest line, it is Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. The BetQL guest line, bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today. Michael, have you sufficiently recovered from covering an NFL draft, one of the most grueling feats that a beat reporter can incur?
Feats of strength. You think you're catching a breath, and then you get the undrafted guys. But I slept in this morning. Don't you worry, Craig.
Excellent. I'm glad you're refreshed. You're ready to go. It's almost OTA time. We'll get to see these guys and what they actually look like on a professional football field, or at least a practice one. Let's start with the trade. Let's just kind of go through here. And Kyle Hamilton's on the board. A lot of people are looking there. A lot of people are looking at the other receivers that were still left, including Olave, who ultimately goes 11 to the Saints in that trade. What'd you make of the trade in the moment and with a couple of days to kind of process it and see what they do with the picks too? Like what's your kind of final grade on that first round?
I think I was pro trade then and pro trade now. I've kind of just been consistently pro trade through the whole process. I think it was the right move. You talk about, look, you downgraded the quality of receiver you got slightly. That's fair. That happened. But you end up picking up two more guys and then three more guys, obviously, if you include the sixth round selection. This is a team that had holes to fill. This is a team that needs prospects. And this is a team that is somewhat of their own doing, is up against the salary cap and needed the rookie skill players to come in. And so I think trading back was the smart way to accomplish all of those goals.
The Dotson pick, the more I kind of hear from him, the more I watch him, the more I like it. Highlight packages have a tendency to do that, by the way. But he seems like, you know, obviously the size is a little concerning, 5'11", you know, somewhere around 180 pounds, but like he plays way bigger than that. What was like the things that stuck out to you as you watched him, and then as you guys got to talk to him, as the local media corps does in the immediate aftermath of a pick, what stood out from the conversation that you guys had with him on Thursday night?
Well, between him and Cole Turner, they averaged drafting a 6'3" wide receiver. So,
or
6'3" pass catcher. So, you know, the average held up fine. He's mature and he's ready. And that's obviously something we talk about with this whole draft class. A lot of fifth-year captains in there. A lot of guys who have played a lot of college football snaps over the course of their career. And that was very deliberate. You know, look, you look at the big picture here. Year three, time to make the playoffs. Ron Irvin is not drafting guys who he hopes will pan out in 2 years or be stars. This was a high floor, low ceiling draft. And I think Dotson just defines that to a T. He may be more ready to go than even any of the big four in terms of just being able to run around, get separation, you know, those little feel things. You mentioned the highlight tape. It's a good highlight tape of him just running crisp routes, going up, getting footballs, making plays. You never go into Canton, I don't think. I'm not sure he's ever going to a Pro Bowl. But I think on week one, 2022, he's going to put up a solid, you know, 4 for 50 or whatever you need him to put up to keep the chains moving. That's what Ron Rivera wanted. So you can critique the strategy if you want, but given the bounds of the strategy, they executed inside of it.
Right. That's fair. I mean, you watch, and the thing is with the highlight tape, like, yeah, he's got some sick one-handed catches and all that kind of stuff, but there's also a patience with his route running that you go, oh, you actually understand how to do this. Like, you're not just out there being a better athlete than everybody that goes away in the NFL. There seems to be some actual patience there, but he still has some of the explosive traits that are nice, and that does raise his ceiling a bit, hence he's a first-round pick. All that said, what's his role on this team? Like, Where does he fit in the wide receiver, you know, obviously behind McLaurin? We know that. Terry's one.
Sure.
What's Curtis Samuel? What's Dotson? What's Cam Sims? What's Diami Brown after a disappointing rookie year where he's still in the mix?
Well, I think the biggest question is, what are you going to get out of Curtis Samuel? You know, look, it's entirely possible he shows up to training camp, dominates, gets back to his form, and he's the guy who we saw running around for the Panthers in 2020. That's possible. You could get that guy. It is also fully possible. You've seen enough NFL injuries, you know this, that he just never is the same again. Two major injuries and a major operation, and Curtis Samuel is going to maybe contribute and passes, but never becomes Curtis Samuel again. And we don't know which outcome we're going to get there, but those are two very different offenses you're talking about. So in one of them, you've got Antonio Gibson, great pass catcher and running back. You've got Curtis Samuel, great pass catcher and running back. And you've got Dotson, who's super versatile. So you got four guys on the field at any given time. I'm obviously tossing Terry in because he's excellent. You got four guys on the field at a given time who can do a crazy number of different things, end up in different spaces, end up in space, end up catching passes, end up taking handoffs, reverses, you name it. That's a very versatile offense. Now, if you take some guys out of that, Antonio Gibson, he's injury prone. If he's injured, you're looking at him as just a pure number two. He's just a guy who's on the other side, and you're hoping maybe you can get the safety to hedge every now and then, give Terry his shot at one. But on the whole, Dotson would have to then carry a lot more weight. Diami Brown's a great pull, obviously, because he opens up the field downfield in a way. These other guys, and I'm certainly not writing him off coming into year two. I think he could make a big step forward, be a contributor. And we've seen this Cam Sims show enough to know I don't think the coaching staff envisions a regular role for Cam Sims. I think they just kind of generally like him, and he'll be in the building, and if circumstances dictate, we'll see some Cam Sims, and otherwise we won't.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with Cam is, like, everyone wants to see more, but, like, he's an incredible depth guy and a good special teamer. So if that's what he is, like, that's a good guy to have on your roster, even if he never develops into more as a receiver. Michael Phillips is with us, Richmond Times-Dispatch, here on Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. So the last thing I'll ask you about Dotson and kind of this receiving group in general here post-draft is Carson Wentz the right guy to throw to them? Because that is my biggest reservation with this offense right now. I like all the pieces. I like the idea that Scott Turner can get creative. I like the idea of what they want to do, except for I don't feel like they have a quarterback who's quick release, get the ball out kind of guy, which seems like a mismatch. Where do you sit on that?
Well, I think that's why Carson Wentz and Washington are almost the perfect match together, because a savvy NFL viewer, somebody who's watching game tape all the time is going to see Carson Wentz and see the deficiencies and see the things he can't do. I think the fan base here is going to see all the things they haven't seen in a long time and all the skills they have not seen out of that position in a long time. Because Carson Wentz has a substantial skill set. And look, he's better than the guys who have come before him here. He is definitively better than Taylor Heinicke. You look back a few years, I'm just going to say it. I think he's better than Alex Smith. Even in that little run Alex Smith had where he threw for 100 yards every week and they won, going back, I think on his good days, he's competitive with Kirk Cousins. I'm not going to put the body of work up there against Kirk Cousins because Kirk's been doing it for a while, but I think you're going back to a legitimate skilled quarterback who can do a lot of different concepts, run a lot of different things. I think that's going to benefit Carson Wentz out of the gate. You look at Indianapolis, man. I mean, Indianapolis, like, they're watching Carson Wentz play and they're like, well, he's no Andrew Luck. He's no Peyton Manning. He's no, Phillip Rivers. Now you know Matt Ryan. And those things are all totally true. But he's going to come to Washington. He's no Taylor Heinicke. He's no Alex Smith. Those are positives. I think he will benefit from that expectation where what he brings to the table is a step forward for a group that, by the way, did win 7 games last year in a tough schedule.
That's true. That's true. I think that is when I want optimism, I don't always call Michael Phillips. But sometimes,
today's the day you got lucky.
I did. Look at this on a Monday, and it's only Monday. Real quick, they do draft a quarterback though. They draft Sam Howell. What do you think is the reaction? Like, how excited were they to get this kid in the fifth round? Some people thought he might go as high as the second. Like, what's the Sam Howell plan, and what does it mean, by the way, for Heinicke at that number two spot this year?
Yeah, what I love about this pick is it's just tremendous value. Because if he doesn't pan out, nobody cares. You know, lots of fifth-round picks don't pan out. So there was really no opportunity cost to making the play. The opportunity cost was maybe you're going to draft another guy who might have been nothing as well. So, but you know, there's tremendous upside there. And you needed three in the room. I think he's, you know, I'll go back to what we've been saying. I know he's not fifth-year captain, but he's a guy who's played a lot of college football. And he's a guy who will be ready to run at least some basic NFL concepts from day one, from what he's seen in North Carolina. I think there's a lot to like on the upside there. Ron Rivera was very clear right after the pick. He said, you know, this is not – Carson Wentz is not challenged. He's number one. Taylor Heinicke is not challenged. He's number two. Now, obviously, number two is not a position you get locked in April. So if things change over the course of training camp, they'll reevaluate that, of course. My guess is that they would really like to not play him this year, give him that developmental year, and then we can start talking about competition coming into next year. But I'm bullish on the pick again. Man, you're asking me about all the right picks here because I'm giving you the full train of optimism. But I think there was a lot of value to like in that selection.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Huge arm, which should be fun for him to watch Wentz and try to learn how to use it from a guy who has done it at the NFL level, at the level that Carson Wentz has. All right, last question for you, and more optimism, because this is a setup for optimism, unless you hated every other draft pick. But like outside of those two, is there another guy in the class or even in some of the early undrafted free agent signings that catches your eye as either someone to watch, someone you're excited about, et cetera, et cetera?
I think I'm pro Brian Robinson, just right out of the gate here, number one. You know, they came into the draft. I think they needed another running back, and I love the role that he fills. Because, you know, one of the weaknesses we talk about with Antonio Gibson, you know, not only struggles to get the short yard when you need the short yard, but also things like, you know, when you're pinned up against the goal line, it's tough to give it to him, especially when he became fumble prone. You know, that's a tough thing to do, to risk that turnover back there. That problem is solved. This guy's coming in, ball security, has played in big games, can get the tough yard. Obviously, it's much tougher in the NFL. But I like that pick in terms of getting a guy who can come in, give you something right away at a key position. I think fans are really going to like him too. And, you know, let's call this what it is. J.D. McKissic, that was a scary injury, man, that neck injury. I know he says he's going to be ready to go, but it's still one you're going to need to keep an eye on that. So I did have running back circled as a need for this team. And certainly you come out of the draft and you say they were able to address that. You know, I don't know that I was wild about any of the seventh round picks. Certainly, we'll see how that goes. Cole Turner, probably my least favorite pick. I think you're drafting to the trading card there rather than the actual football production. But you know, Fedarian Mathis, sure, you took him a little early, but you know that's a place you needed depth following the Settle and Ioannidis departures. Sure, maybe that's a problem of your own making, but it was a problem, and they did fix it. Give him a tip of the hat for that.
Yeah. They might have been the arsonists, but at least they were the firemen too. I got exactly. I got Wino coming on later. Any bits I need to be aware of? Anything that I should throw at him?
Wino at one point in the weekend just kind of like throws his hands up and lets the profanity out. Like, man, he really didn't like that pick. But I think like the Red Wings coach got fired or something, and he went into frenzied hockey mode. I was trying to get him to explain to me how the Caps were going to win the series, and you know, the best I got was it's hockey. Strange things happen. So I'm not sure I'm going to ride that, you know, to the BetQL outline or anything. But it's at least something as I turn it on tomorrow night and get ready for this. You know, as you know, I'm an eternal optimist. You know,
that is just by one. By the way, you're already on the BetQL guest line or on the BetQL hotline, so that's kind of awkward. And two, I hope Wino has more information than that when he comes on with us on this same hotline. And
Craig, he's the expert. You got the right guy. So I'll look forward to a little puck chatter.
Yes, it shall be fun. And we'll avoid the swearing too, because the FCC says we have to. Michael Phillips on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. And if you want to be smarter in general, not just bet smarter, read them in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. It's the right thing to do. Michael, thank you, sir. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. When we get back, more of your phone calls, 800-636-1067, reacting to the Commanders NFL draft this weekend and everything Michael had to say about it. Plus, a tweet that made me go, and that's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Just talked to Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He loves this class. He's a big fan. And, you know, I don't disagree with him. And it's interesting. I was listening to Logan break down this class earlier over on 980 with Russell and Medhurst. I was listening to a lot of Grand Danny's show today and kind of listening to them. And it's a weird spot to be in as an analyst because you – both like what happened, but are nervous about what didn't. And I know, like, for Logan, he wasn't super high on Kyle Hamilton, but at the same time, like, there is that chance that he is a great player and you missed on that. And I mentioned a tweet that made me go, yeah, and Mo tweeted me and he goes, there's no guarantee that drafting a top 10 or top 20 player is going to work out. Look at our number two pick a few years ago, and then also look at the number two pick back in 2012. How did that end up? And I don't know whether he's calling Chase Young a bust already or whatever. I know he was referring to in 2012, obviously, with Robert. And like, yeah, that ultimately went really badly. Great at the start. Man, that was fun. Until it wasn't. But I think that what you're missing with that nonsensical tweet is, all due respect, is the chances that a top 10 guy works out is a lot better than a fifth rounder. Like, I even heard one of the callers to Grand Danny today saying, like, well, I hope that Sam Howell is like the Tom Brady and it works out. It's like, y'all throw that around way too casually. Tom Brady is the ultimate anomaly in the history of sports. And frankly, as he prepares for another season, Tom Brady would be one of the ultimate anomalies in the history of sports if he was entering the NFL with the hype of LeBron James and went one overall. Like, y'all realize how good that dude is, right? He's the best player ever at the most important position in sports. His winning is unmatched in the history of the sport. Statistically, he is one of the best, if not in stretches, the best in the history of the sport. He has been great for almost three careers worth of greatness. What's actually success for a fourth or fifth round pick is having Kirk Cousins' career. Win some football games, get paid a lot of money, be a starter for half a decade to maybe even a full decade. And you got people saying already, like, Sam Howell, let's see if he can take a couple years and be the next Aaron Rodgers because he sat 3 years. Rodgers was a first-round pick who most people at the time thought should have gone ahead of Alex Smith at one overall. It was another weird QB draft where Alex went one overall, and then all of a sudden the next pick, the next quarterback pick was Rodgers in the 20s. And then he sits 3 years, and everyone's like, well, if they just sit quarterbacks like Rodgers, you think Jordan Love is going to be great after he sits following what Rodgers has done? No. And so I say all that to say that, like, I get what Rivera and them are doing. I do think there is obvious merit to taking multiple shots at players and seeing if you get lucky on one, because you can understand the scouting report. But as Pete Carroll has often said about Russell Wilson, if they knew that he was going to be as good as Russell Wilson is, they would have taken him in the first round, not the third. They got lucky. They were right. They thought he could be pretty good. But if they knew that they could get Russell Wilson and they knew they were right about him, they wouldn't have paid Matt Flynn all that money either. So how does that apply to what Washington's done? It means that you better really be right and get lucky on Dotson and all the other players that you wind up taking. And that you kind of get lucky that Olave is not that great, or that Jameson Williams is not great, or that Kyle Hamilton's not great. Because this team needs great. It's got some goods. It needs great. And so, is there merit to adding more good? Yes. If you're going to quote-unquote miss, would you rather miss and be good? Like, if you miss a home run and you hit a double, aw, shucks. You're still in great shape. Which is why, like, it's hard to get super worked up and super mad about what they did. They might have hit some doubles, which is fantastic. But eventually, to win a championship, you got to hit a home run. And that's where we just don't know with this draft class yet. And to pretend that we do, one way or another, would be incredibly disingenuous and just lying to you as an audience, because we don't know yet. It's Monday. The draft was Saturday. Rookie minicamp doesn't happen until Friday. But conceptually, that's where we're at. Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. This is Overtime. Let's get into some of these picks more specifically next. And really, I would love to do more than that, is take your calls on what I just said. Are you comfortable? And I've asked this question multiple times this offseason, and it's always interesting to see the answers from all of you. But are you comfortable with the direction of the franchise? We have the draft. That is a huge data point. And I do think it was clarifying in a lot of ways. So are you comfortable with the direction that Ron Rivera and this front office is going? 800-636-1067. Craig Hoffman with you, taking your calls next on The Fan. Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Brendan Marks from The Athletic covers North Carolina and Duke, but that's kind of just more of being nice to Brendan and giving him the full scope of his job. We don't care about Duke football in this particular situation, because the Commanders drafted a North Carolina player and he's a quarterback. And that's what we're going to talk about in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Brendan first and then talk a little bit more about Sam Howell and what it means for Carson Wentz and kind of where what that pick means. Because anytime you take a quarterback, I would say outside of like the seventh round as a flyer, but you take someone, especially like Howell, who's got a profile that suggests high potential, like potential starter is a real thing that he could be, even if not soon, I think it's worthy of a larger discussion. So we'll get there coming up in the second hour, unless some of you get going on the phones on that direction sooner. 800-636-1067. I believe that's actually where Gordon wants to go. Gordon down in Richmond, thank you for calling, sir. You are on The Fan.
Hello?
Hello, Gordon.
Hi. I was making a comment about Sam Howell. I saw him in the Senior Bowl. That's the only tape that I've seen on the guy. But to me, he couldn't read the field. I was off him as soon as the bowl was done. I said of all the quarterbacks that I saw, he was the one that I would not touch with a 10-foot pole.
So, Gordon, how much experience do you have scouting quarterbacks?
Not a lot. I tried to tackle a few in my time.
All right. I appreciate the call, Gordon. Thank you. Because his analysis is not incorrect. I just think it's funny because, like, guys today aren't what they're going to be next week by the end of rookie minicamp. Nevertheless, what they're going to be a year from now, like end of training camp, end of next season, end of next year. Sam Howell wasn't asked to read a lot of defenses in North Carolina. You know, the college systems now, or wasn't asked to read defenses the same way that he will in the NFL. I should rephrase that dramatically. He wasn't asked to read them in the same way as he will be in the NFL. You just don't see as much. One, the players aren't as collectively smart. Not to say that college football players are dumb, but they're not collectively as intelligent as the group that makes it to the NFL. That's the biggest reason why that group makes it to the NFL. So you go from one or two NFL caliber brains that you're trying to pick apart, or you're actually really trying to coach up on defense, to 11 plus your backups. And so the defensive schemes that you're installing as defensive coordinator are not as complex in college level. And of course, you're also dealing with like time restrictions and things like that because they're quote unquote student athletes. Like you're only allowed, 20 hours a week? So the demands of a college defense, what they ask of a quarterback, are not very high, relatively speaking. And thus, the offensive systems don't have to be super complex. So you get the basic stuff, and you have so much turnover every year. You're guaranteed basically a quarter of your roster is going to turn over every year, and you want some continuity. So can you continue to build a system around a guy like Howell when you have a multi-year starter like him at quarterback? And yes, his defensive, you know, his ability to read a defense is something that he's going to have to work on. He's going to have to learn what he's looking for and then what to do with it. But that's also not super relevant to me in the fifth round. You know, it's the kind of thing where if you're getting a guy in the fifth round, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it and go, what am I not getting? Which the list is going to be really long because he's a fifth round pick. Or you can go, what am I getting? And that's some of what we'll get to in that 8 o'clock hour. Brendan Marks has, I'm sure, some great thoughts on that from The Athletic. And his offensive coordinator and QB's coach, Coach Longo, was on with Grant Danny earlier. I'm going to play a little bit of that conversation as well, which I know gets directly to some of these things because I thought it was fascinating to hear. So that's going to come up. If you missed that interview, one, you can just stay tuned. I, for one, would appreciate that. Stay tuned. Coming up at 8:30, I'm going to play that. Or if you're bopping around and you got, I don't know, like kids and a family or wife and family or husband and family that you're trying to get back to, and you're like, hey, man, like your show's nice and all, but I can't sit in the car all day and just wait for you to play stuff that already happened on the radio today. I mean, I guess that's fine. You can use the Odyssey app and you can rewind to 5 o'clock and you can hear that whole interview with Grand Danny, which is really good. So, you know, present you with options. But with Howell, I think you look at the things that you're getting, and they were the things that were that had him, like, just to be completely clear on what kind of prospect we're talking about here, there were people that going into last season, coming off of the 2021 campaign, where he had a ton of NFL talent around him at the skill positions, thought Sam Howell, if he continues his trajectory in his third year as a starter at North Carolina, was going to be the number one overall pick in this draft. And there are still people that, based off that 21 season, and I guess they saw enough in 22 in terms of how he handled some of the adversity that North Carolina faced, that had him as their QB1 in this draft. I don't think that was common. I think Pickett was generally regarded as QB1. Clearly, some teams had Ritter higher, as Atlanta drafted him higher than Malik Willis. I don't think they were the only team that had that. You know, you had Willis as QB1, I'm sure, in some places. You had, you know, and some that had Howell. One of the things that Logan said on 980 earlier today that I thought was really, really salient in terms of a point is that even within teams, sometimes you get disagreements. Like, you know, if you think Kiper and McShay got different opinions, and they're different from Daniel Jeremiah, which is different than Bucky Brooks, which is different than Dane Brugler, which is different than Eric Edholm at Yahoo, like all those media types who got different boards and different things. You think they're all cohesive within a team? Nevertheless, the league, like obviously they're not within the league. Some teams like players better than others, and some of it is personal preference. Some of it is scheme adjacent. If you run a 4-3 and you got an outside linebacker who's a 3-4 rush end, like that guy's not going to be super high on your board. He just doesn't fit what you do. You might think he's a really good football player, but if you're drafting to, you know, have a, you're not just drafting to like throw guys on a fantasy team. You're drafting football players that have to fill roles and responsibilities. And so even within teams, you know, there might've been a quarterback's coach or an offensive assistant in Washington who really liked Hal and another one who didn't. And that's the hard part about a prospect at that level, to go back to Gordon's call, is like, yeah, you're right. Watching him at the Senior Bowl may have been super frustrating because you're like, man, can this guy see anything? But if you look at what he can do, big arm, great, good anticipation at times, you know, when he can know, like, yeah, I've got that deep shot, gets his one read, is decisive and makes it accurate on some of those big throws. Even if on other throws, he uses a lot of body and leaves a lot to be desired in terms of mechanics. You look at what he can do and you go, all right, well, we don't, he's a fifth round pick. We don't want to play him for 3 years if we ever play him ever. And then you're kind of set. As for the other picks, starting with Jahan Dotson, I actually had the chance on Friday to talk to his trainer. He worked out at Exos in Phoenix, Arizona as part of their pre-draft group, as part of their combine training. And we had his trainer, Nick Hill, on our podcast, the Train with the Best podcast, on Friday, right after Jahan was drafted Thursday night. And I'm going to let you hear what he said about Jahan Dotson, as well as some thoughts on that pick next. Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. You can't achieve greatness by signing mid-tier talent and high-floor draft picks. I'm afraid Rivera is happy being 500% consistently. I mean, that's kind of my fear too, is that at the end of the day, they don't want to take big swings because they're more scared of failing on a big swing or even a perceived big swing than saying like, hey, we can get to this comfortable place. I'm pretty sure this guy's solid. This guy's solid. As opposed to taking some bigger swings on some guys with some better potential that could be stars. Which also says to me, like, how confident, or makes me ask the question, like, how confident are you in your player development that you can get the most out of these guys? That, and look, I'm not, self-awareness is important too. So, you know, I say all that, but let's give Ron and staff credit. If they're right on this front, if they look at, say, Chris Olave or Kyle Hamilton and go, I don't think he's the right fit for our guys or for our scheme. Even if he's great in Baltimore, like Kyle Hamilton wasn't a fit for us. He wouldn't become that great player here. It's something I actually want to talk about with Howard Beck later on the NBA side of things. Howard's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Is like Jordan Poole for Golden State right now is amazing. But is Jordan Poole Jordan Poole if he gets drafted by the Wizards? No knock on the Wizards inherently. I mean, obviously it is, but like Jordan Poole is Jordan Poole because he goes to the Steph Curry school every day. Would Jordan Poole have been a good player if he went to the Wizards? Probably. Like is the ceiling or is the breadth of what he could be, what he is with Golden State, all the way to bust? Probably not. Like, his floor is probably like good rotation player, but is he more sixth man? I don't know. Like, even if he's like Zach LaVine, and Zach has developed into an all-star, but he ain't what Poole is, and considering his youth and in trajectory, and it took him a while. So it's tough. You have to know yourself. And eventually, if yourself is mediocre or slightly above average, like, that becomes on the person who hired you if the goal is greatness. Just, you know, that it's an unavoidable truth. Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. Friday, had the chance to talk to Nick Hill, who is the lead performance coach and speed coach out at Exos, which is, Exos trains more first-round picks than anyone else. There's some other great training facilities around the country, but 13 of the first-round picks in this year's first round, that was redundant. The 13 of the picks in this year's first round were Exos guys, including Trayvon Walker, who obviously went one overall, including Jahan Dotson, who goes 16 to Washington after the trade. And Nick was great in talking about all those guys on our podcast, the Train with the Best podcast, which you can check out at trainwiththebest21.com/podcast. But we asked him specifically, because I do these shows and I've been on in DC forever, like, I was like, I want to have you on to talk about Dotson. So this is what Nick Hill, who is Jahan Dotson's trainer, essentially out at Exos, had to say about the Commanders' first round pick.
Jahan is a silent assassin, man. He was an amazing kid. He came in early, worked his butt off, very, very detailed, and you know, great work ethic, fun to be around. I mean, Han is my guy, man, and I'm super happy for him. And you know, they got a dog. They got somebody that's going to go out there and work, and a major playmaker, phenomenal athlete, and I think could be a number one receiver out there for sure. So I'm super excited for him on where he landed. And I think, you know, the Commander's got a great kid, a great character guy, and a good worker, somebody that's going to be good for the locker room. But he's a silent assassin, man. He would do, like, you know, he would come out and he would run his times, and he was one of our faster guys. Him and Garrett Wilson would go at each other. And he would just go last. You know, all the guys go up and it's all gassed up and everybody's hyped up, and he just walks up last, takes his time, steps up to the line, puts his hand down in the dirt, and then rips off like one of the fastest times that we have in the class. And so it was always fun to just kind of have his energy, and that silent assassin about him was just fun to watch.
What I love about what Nick had to say is the traits he listed off. If I didn't tell you who he was talking about, you'd be like, oh, that's Terry McLaurin. Not super loud. Everybody listens when he speaks. Super competitive. Great speed. Terry's 40 time was ultimately better than Dotson's, but Dotson's still a 4.46, I believe, at the combine, and I think ran better at his pro day, and consistently was right there with Garrett Wilson, as Nick was saying, each and every day at Exos out in Phoenix. So, like, we're talking elite speed. And so I will say that while initially my reaction was like, what? I actually really like the Dotson pick, which is, again, like, makes this so hard to talk about, because doing analysis is way easier when there's clear heroes and villains. Like, ultimately, like, we're trying to tell a story. And when you understand, like, who is the hero and who is the villain, it's pretty easy to do that. And when those things get mixed and there's not real resolution, like, it's one thing to be like, ah, plot twist. But it's a completely separate thing when there's kind of, I don't know, heroes and villains at the same time. And, like, when one person is playing both roles. And so if you're simultaneously going, yeah, but Kyle Hamilton, or yeah, but Chris Olave, and you're yeah, butting, hey, Jahan Dotson's pretty good. It just becomes convoluted. And this is why, ultimately, like, if we're going to do a pass-fail grade on Washington's draft, they pass for me. And it's not even close. If we're going to do, like, the ABCD thing, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and pretend like I've spent hundreds of hours studying all these guys on tape and I have an indisputable, unquestionable understanding of what Washington is trying to do on offense and defense, that I understand beyond a reasonable doubt that how these players are going to fit in, because nobody does, including, by the way, Ron Rivera and Martin Mayhew and all of their scouts and all of their position coaches. They have an idea. They drafted guys who they think are going to fit, but we don't know. But what I do know is they took guys with solid character. They took guys whose work ethics are very well renowned. They took guys with fantastic physical traits in the size and or speed categories. And they took guys who they think fit what they do offensively or defensively, which is all you can reasonably ask. Could they have taken a bigger swing on some potential higher ceiling guys? Yes. But if you're gonna quote unquote miss, you might as well miss the home run with a double. And with guys with the work ethics and the characters of Jahan Dotson, let's say, that double might turn into a triple or a home run itself. You never know who's going to be Terry McLaurin. You never know who's going to be Drew Brees. You never know who's going to be Russell Wilson or even Kirk Cousins. You know, or and of course, you have no idea if there's ever going to be another Tom Brady. The span of success for late round picks and even for first round picks is pretty wide. The threshold and the possibilities. So Dotson seems like a pretty good bet to be at least a really good player. As Phillip said at the top of the hour, going to make a Pro Bowl? Probably not. But if he's a good number two receiver, starter for 5 to 8 years, that's a good use of a first round pick. Especially if he can help you win a lot of football games, which of course Ron and company need to do after the disappointment of last season. Craig Hoffman with you here on 106.7 The Fan. When we get back, let's learn a little bit more about the fifth round pick. Let's learn more about Sam Howell, the quarterback that was taken out of North Carolina. Brendan Marks covered him in college for The Athletic. Brendan Marks next with us on Overtime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.